John chapter 12, Jesus is anointed. Now, 6 days before the Passover, now this is the Passover where Jesus is going to be killed, Jesus went to Bethany. It means the house of the poor, which was the home of Lazarus, the man he'd raised from the dead, and they prepared a meal for him, which Martha helped to serve. Now, you remember how Martha had been so angry earlier when Mary didn't help her. She was angry because in the past because Mary hadn't helped her to serve and prepare the meal. She just wanted to sit and listen to Jesus. So now it says that Martha again serves, but we are sort of supposed to join the dots and get the picture of a woman who had now learnt that it's not all about works. Jesus doesn't want the fancy food and all that sort of thing. He wants to teach his word and for us to listen to him. And Lazarus was one of those who was sitting at the table with Jesus. How wonderful is that? That a man had been dead and he was resurrected and now he's eating at a table. This is how literal the resurrection of the dead is going to be. This is the great hope that we've got. If we're baptized into Jesus, we share in his death and his resurrection. Then Mary took about half a litre of very expensive perfume, pure nard as it was called, and she poured it on the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The smell of the perfume filled the entire house, but one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 pennies and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He had the money bag and he used to take money out of it. So, as Jesus also said elsewhere, he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful in the big things. And he that's unfaithful in the least is unfaithful in big things. The man who stole a few pennies from the bag that they had for their sort of collective expenses, he was a thief, but he was the same one who betrayed Jesus to be crucified. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She has done this for the day of my burial. You have the poor always with you, but you won't have me always." In other words, this Mary was one of the few who really understood that Jesus was really going to die. And so the others were all shocked when Jesus died. And after he rose from the dead, he said, "Why didn't you believe me? I told you so clearly." But she was one of the few. And so she spent this huge amount of perfume on Jesus, which was so expensive. If you worked for a penny a day, this is worth 300 pennies. This is like a year's wages. There were many people who heard that Jesus was in Bethany. And so they went there, not only because Jesus was there, but because they wanted to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, because of him, there were many Jews who were going away from them and believing in Jesus. How crazy. Jesus raises a man from the dead, and the Pharisees want to kill that person. This is how crazy people get when their conscience is touched and they feel that they're losing their little bit of power. The next day, the large crowd who came up to keep the Passover had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches and fronds from palm trees, and they went to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Hosanna to him who comes in the name of the Lord! May God bless the King of Israel!" But Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the Old Testament scripture had said, "Fear not, O daughter of Zion, your king comes unto you, humble and sitting on a donkey." So a king was supposed to enter his city on a great big war horse, a charger, but Jesus entered just sitting on a donkey to demonstrate that the true greatness is in humility. Now, of course, these people expected Jesus to become king straight away, and yet he knew that he'd come to die, and that it was only by dying that he could open the way for us all to be in God's kingdom. And these very same people who were shouting out, "Hosanna, this is the King of Israel," were the very ones who a few hours really later were screaming out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so it shows how people change so easily. They are fickle. And we don't want to be like that. We want to solidly believe in the Lord Jesus and not trade that for anything. To know that he is the one. And not to just believe in him 1 minute and then not care about him the next. This is not how we should be. There should be a stability to our faith. And that is what the Holy Spirit can give us if we allow the power of God to confirm us in our faith. The disciples didn't understand any of this at the time, but when Jesus had been resurrected in glory, they recalled the scripture that had said this about him. Now, the people who'd been with Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the grave had reported to everybody what had happened, and that's why the crowd had come out to meet him, because they'd heard all about the miracle he had done. But the Pharisees said to one to another, "Don't you see? We're achieving nothing at all. Look, he's got the whole world following him." They were jealous. And whenever you experience other people's jealousy of you, which we all do, then you're experiencing something of these sufferings of Jesus. Now, there were some Gentiles among those who'd gone to Jerusalem to worship during the feast, and they came to Philip because he was from Bethsaida in Galilee, which is probably a Gentile sort of area, and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus, and Jesus replied, "The hour has come that the Son of Man is to be glorified. Truly, truly, I tell you, a grain of wheat will remain just that, a grain of wheat, unless it falls into the earth and dies. But if it dies, then it produces many grains. He who loves his life will lose it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it until life eternal. Whoever wishes to serve me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be. And my Father will honour all who serve me. Now is my heart troubled, and what shall I say? Should I say, 'Father, don't let this hour come upon me'? But that is why I came, so that I might endure this hour of suffering. Father, glorify your name." So you have this unique little insight into the internal thinking of Jesus. He was not a puppet. He wasn't just acting out. He was really struggling inside himself to be obedient. And in the end, he just wants to glorify God's name. And then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd who were standing there heard the voice, and when they heard it, they said that it was thunder. But others said, "No, an angel has spoken." But Jesus said to them, "This voice came not for my sake, but for your sakes. Now is the time for the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world is to be overthrown. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. In other words, he's talking about the crucifixion, and that he lifted up there would thereby attract all people to him. The crowd replied, "The law tells us that the Christ or Messiah will live forever. But how then are you saying that the Son of Man must be lifted up, that is, killed in crucifixion? Who is the Son of Man?" Jesus replied, "The light will not remain amongst you for much longer. Continue in walking in the light while you have the light, so that the darkness won't come unto you. For whoever walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Believe in the light while you have the light, and you will become children of the light." After Jesus had spoken this, he went off and hid himself from them. I guess he was kind of preparing himself for the crucifixion. Even though he had done so many miracles before them, they still did not believe in him. They see all this talk about miracles. Oh, you need to see a miracle. Well, Israel saw miracles every day and they still sinned. And these people saw amazing miracles done by Jesus, but they still wanted to just crucify him. And so the words of the prophet Isaiah came true. "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" So they couldn't believe because of what Isaiah had also said. "God has blinded their eyes, shut their minds so that their eyes cannot see, and their minds will not understand, and they will not repent and turn to me, says the Lord, and I will heal them." Isaiah said this when he saw his glory and spoke about him. But many of the Jewish leaders did believe in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they didn't talk about it openly because they feared being expelled from the synagogue. because they love the praise that comes from men rather than the praise that comes from God. Jesus spoke in a loud voice, "Whoever believes in me does not believe just in me, but also in him who sent me. Whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I came a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my word and will not obey it, I do not judge him. I came not to judge the world, but to save it. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my word has one that will judge him. Even the word that I have spoken will judge him at the last day." So we're not judged according to whether we thought it was all okay in our conscience to do this, that, or the other. There is only one thing that will judge us, and that is God's word and the word of Jesus. And that's what we've got to remember.